do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention, 5 topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. We got Mike Smith producing. Coming up on the show, Fear the Deer, Denver Bored or Slipping, Second Pick in the Draft Debate, DPOY Discourse, and D'Lo Stain. Also want to welcome those of you watching on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to our new YouTube channel. Just search The Athletic NBA Show, or you're on YouTube, just click the damn account and hit subscribe. It's not that hard. And subscribe to The Bounce, a free NBA newsletter from The Athletic daily. Sign up at theathletic.com/bounce. Today is March 16th, National Barbecue Day. Jay, what is your favorite go-to barbecue food?
Brisket. I'm a brisket man.
Love a brisket.
Brisket.
Absolutely love a brisket. Marcus?
That is the most white people answer of all time.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Black ribs. Brisket.
Yeah, I love ribs too.
Ribs are great too.
Everybody eat brisket, but go to?
Brisket. I don't mind. I don't like eating ribs in front of people because I really want to get into it, you know? There's a lot of mess. There's a lot. It's not an insecurity. It's that I want to live in the moment by myself. I don't want other people around. Nope, like that's a me time.
Nobody eats brisket by themselves.
The Celtics media room has the best brisket.
There's not a chance that the Boston Celtics make the best brisket.
It's amazing brisket.
Hey, Boston Celtics food now is I'm top on, shelf though.
Listen, now I'm on Marcus' right. side.
Listen to Marcus.
Marcus, I was at a barbecue place 2 nights ago. Black guy ordered the brisket. How about that?
Black people eat brisket. I'm just saying, go to though for barbecue. Nobody's saying brisket.
I don't know. You said it was white.
Go to like, hey, if I got one, if I got one barbecue thing to eat, I'm getting brisket. I don't know about that, buddy.
All right, let's get to our two contestants in this corner. The most braggadocious beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He rides Celtics, he reps Kings, and he loves white college basketball players. This is his weekend. Ride with him on Peloton at The Kid, The God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, what's the balance of NCAA tournament versus NBA you're going to watch over the next 4 days?
I will watch the Celtics because I'm contractually obligated to watch the Celtics.
You can't just let Jared take that for a couple of days.
Other than that, it's all NCAA tournament. Yeah. I will be watching from noon till the end of the last game. I will watch every second of every single game. I will have multiple screens. It's a holiday. It is the two best days of the year, Thursday and Friday, the NCAA tournament.
I've watched way more French league basketball this year than I have college basketball, so I'm excited to dive into it and learn who these guys are. And in this corner, the most versatile media member the Bay Area has ever seen. 3 books, long titles, find them in bookstores. The friend from Frisco, the bro from Berkeley, the sauce in Sausalito, the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the petty in Petaluma, the OG from Oakland is Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what is your balance of NCAA tournament versus NBA you're going to watch over the next 4 days?
I will be watching 1% of NCAA. That is a very brisket answer.
No, man. I don't like college basketball, but I like the tournament. You know?
I like the tournament later. I'll wait till later. I don't like these early matches.
When it's later, it bores me. I want the game after game after game. Once we get into like the Elite Eight, I'm good. I don't really care who wins.
It's so much bad basketball happening right now.
Yeah, it's terrible awful basketball. Terrible basketball.
I once had someone email my the owner of my podcast and the advertisers on my podcast. Because I went on such a rant about the NCAA tournament, or a rave, I guess. And I in the middle of it, I was saying it's the best holiday. I said, fuck Christmas, fuck Easter.
Wow.
And fuck something else. Fuck Thanksgiving. But someone very religious was super offended by my defense of the NCAA tournament.
All right,
repeat that here on this podcast too.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck those holidays. I'm with you. Let me ask you this then before we get into it. If I give you NCAA opening weekend, right? March Madness, first 4 days, or conference championship games and the Super Bowl of the NFL, what are you taking?
NFL, easy.
NCAA
That's
tournament.
That's not even close.
Yeah, I'm taking the NFL too.
NCAA tournament.
Really? And,
yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What about that Monmouth versus Duke game is riveting theater.
I have a little uncomfortable.
Oral Roberts is going to get Duke hell.
Anytime there's a college that has Commonwealth in the name, I get a little uneasy. A little. It's just the Commonwealth.
You get uneasy.
All right, let's get to it. Banter is checked. Smelt, start the clock. Take one. Fear the deer. Nobody's hotter than the Milwaukee Bucks. They just took a back-to-back in Sacramento and in Phoenix with Giannis absolutely dominating both games. 46-12 and 4 against the Kings. 36-11 and 8 against the Suns. And he took some of Torrey Craig's teeth with him. I don't know if he actually took them. I think Craig collected them as they came out of his mouth. But he knocked them out. Bucks have now won 21 of their last 23 games. They're 17-4 when Middleton and Giannis play together. They're the first team to clinch a playoff berth, the first team to 50 wins. They have a three-game lead on the Boston Celtics as of this recording, and people are finally, I say finally, waking up to the idea that Giannis is your MVP because he should be. So, Marcus, I ask you, I'm saying you can take the healthy Bucks or the field to win a championship. Who are you taking?
Healthy Bucks. Healthy Bucks. I don't...
Ooh, not the field.
Yeah, not the field. Like, this... here's the crazy part. These dudes are already champions, right? Like, they've mm-hmm. already done it. And you can tell by the way, like, they play. They have the switch they can flip. They've been the best team in the league, and they haven't been the best of themselves yet, right? They're still, like, messing around sometimes. They're just getting people back, and they're still, like, better than everybody else. I just think the way Brook Lopez is anchoring that defense in the middle, and the addition of like Javon Carter giving him another pressure defender, mm-hmm. like you add that to Giannis, like they've got
it was
the,
crazy.
They got the best defense.
They stopped. It was crazy they stopped playing Javon Carter against the Celtics last year.
It was nuts. Yeah, it was nuts.
He's good, and he's a good shooter now.
He's shooting better now. He's shooting the ball
he's
really consistently
up
now.
Transition, yeah. Knocking down threes. I'm like, who the hell
he shoots
is
some
this?
Wild ones.
Yeah, he does take wild shots.
I think he's been hanging out with Jrue Holiday too much. If I'm being honest,
I guess according to Eric Name, they want him to just like shoot the ball every time. Like they want him to be a high volume shooter, and you could tell because he fires him.
Yeah, he really does.
Nah, he's in it though. He's but like, I mean, look, as you always say, if a big man runs the floor and rebounds, like you got to feed him. He gets his, like I feel like if you pressure dudes full court,
you get to shoot.
You get to chuck
a
couple.
You get to let it fly.
Few, you know, Jay chuck him, and he don't even pressure anybody on defense.
And he can't even shoot.
Yep. Come on, man. I could absolutely shoot. That's the one thing I've got. Dribble. I could pass too, but I didn't like to pass.
You've only sent us highlights of you passing. And we don't
that's
care.
What am I going to do? Send you highlights of me shooting standstill threes?
Are you shooting them like Carl Anthony Towns? Like no jump, just on the ground, flat footed, let it go.
I mean,
I'm waiting to see Jay on Instagram posing with Lethal Shooter.
Oh God, yeah, no, Jay doesn't have the clout to get in there yet, but Jay will someday.
Damn,
you gotta have a lot of.
I think I could get a sit down.
No, that's more commentary on him.
With Lethal Shooter.
Jay, I give you the healthy Bucks. Or the field? Who are you taking for the title?
The field. Definitely the field. And that's like the Bucks would be my favorite. They're absolutely my favorite. But they're not so head and shoulders above everybody else that I wouldn't take all the other guys.
I don't know, man. They're pretty fucking good.
But okay. What about the Suns? Like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Whenever Kevin Durant gets back. What about the Celtics who have been...
Yeah,
pretty lackadaisical really lately, but
yeah,
are really good. What about like there's just a lot that could happen in a playoff run. So I'm taking the field, but they are the favorite. They have established themselves as a favorite. And not only that, they're the hungriest team right now by far among the real contenders. Like the Nuggets just kind of, they're dancing around doing nothing. The Celtics are just dropping games to bad teams and blowing leads left and right. And everyone else is struggling with like being up for 82 games. And the Bucks are just kicking everyone's ass.
This is because Giannis is a psychopath. I don't think you're allowed to. Yeah, he's the MVP. I don't think you're allowed to like not approach the season in that way. We know the Bucks have had to scale back stuff to kind of, you know, manage the flow of the season better. And by the way, we found out the other night, Brooke Lopez, still a psychopath.
He did get choked out by Trey Lyles, though.
And then he dog walked him wherever the hell he wants. Sabonis is in there. He's moving like no one could stop.
Hey, Sabonis, Brooke Lopez
the other night.
Sabonis was hanging on Lopez's arm like I used to hang on my uncle's arm as a kid.
It looked like JVG on Alonzo Mourning's leg. Like it was just
Sabonis was like, hold on for dear life.
6'11", 250, and was
swinging
like
above the ground.
The Lopez like twins are crazy, nuts, though. Like, you don't think they're crazy because they're quirky and funny and stuff, but they're crazy. Man.
I've always imagined them fighting, Robin and Brooke fighting each other. It looks like those videos where giraffes are fighting. That's what I've always imagined it. Have you ever seen giraffes fight? It's nuts. Google that right now.
I got to go see giraffes.
Oh my God.
I'm going to pull that up right now.
Oh my God. I'm going to react live. It's insane. Okay. All right. You do that. We'll move on to the next subject. Take two. Rocky Mountain, huh? Speaking of teams at the top of their conference, Denver Nuggets have run away with the top seed in the West. They have 13 games left to play, 4-game lead on the 2-seed Grizzlies, who don't have their top player anytime soon. And their MVP candidate has already been given the trophy by a lot of online people. There's just one thing about their impressive 46-23 record. They were recently 46-19, and for those of you at home not wanting to do the math, they've lost 4 straight games. Chicago beat the Nuggets by 21 a few days ago. The Spurs and the Nets ruined the Jokic perfect record with a triple-double this season in consecutive games. Tuesday night, their 4th straight loss came by the way of Toronto. 3 straight opponents have scored 122-plus on them. Jay is laughing because he's punching giraffes fight right now.
Giraffe fighting is crazy. They just whack each other with their necks. This is nuts.
That's how I imagine the Lopez brothers fighting. Denver has slipped from 12th to 18th on defense during this stretch. They have 4 more road games until they get home. Mike Malone said, quote, "Maybe we've gotten a little soft with success. We've been on cruise control for so long, number one in the West since like December 15. I told our players we've gotten away from who we are." So, Jay, are you concerned with Denver, or is this just a pointless stretch of the season?
First, you just opened up an entirely new world for me. Giraffes fighting is nuts, wild.
They don't fight. They just keep hitting each other with their necks.
Like, yeah.
Like they can't even really hurt each other.
It's like the slap contest where they take turns, right? Just
what a new world. Anyway, the Nuggets, no. There's no concern beyond the concern I already had.
Well, one more thing let me add. Jamal Murray does not look healthy right now. He's playing a lot of minutes.
That's concerning, but like these are it was 4 like meaningless games. They are going to win the number one seed. They know that, and these were not games to get up for. It was not quality opponents. It was not like they just laid a dud in a big game or anything like that. They're finding it tough to get up for meaningless games right now, which I think a lot of people do. And they've already, if they hadn't gotten the one seed, this would maybe be a little concerning. The real concern is like the same as they've always been. Can Jokic hold up defensively against the very best offenses in the playoffs? Can Jamal Murray be at the highest level in the playoffs? Can Michael Porter Jr. defend? Like, that's the stuff they have to worry about, not whether they beat the Chicago Bulls and Toronto Raptors in mid-March.
Marcus, are you worried about the Denver Nuggets at all?
Yeah, no, I agree with Jay. I don't think this is a big deal outside of the issues they already have. Like, if they won these games, the same issues would still be there. They have so much pressure to win at home because they're not a good road team, because you got to be a good defensive team to play on the road. Like, of the 40-win teams, there are, like, two with losing records, right? Mm-hmm. Two teams we don't think will win a championship, right? Cleveland and Memphis. Good teams, but, you know, there's a ceiling on them. And then Denver's 500. Like, you're the best team in the West, yeah, and you're 500 on the road. It's like, to me, that's a big concern. Can they play enough defense to win the road? Otherwise, they just cannot lose at home. It just can't happen. They lose at home, that might be the series for them. So, to me, that's yeah, a
if
that's
they
a
lose
bigger
if they lose game one in a series,
bruh,
like, do they panic? Do they feel confident? Like, oh, we'll go get one, or is it, oh, here come the same old demons again?
They're still the class of the West, right? They're still the best team. They have the best player in the West, or who is having the best season. And, you know, we'll see how it shakes out in the playoffs. But, I mean, like, they're getting the best punches from people who are, like, trying to prove that they shouldn't be, you know, replaced by a second-round pick right now. Like, they're fighting for their careers out here, yeah, while the Nuggets are,
yeah,
chilling.
Yeah, Spurs are feisty lately, too. Let's be
you
honest.
You know what I'm saying? What's going on with the Spurs?
All of a sudden got four wins in, like, the last 2 weeks. I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Now
Pop
you guys
is like
care?
Out here, we about to replace you guys with two ways.
Mike Malone's comments were great, though. Calling them soft, saying they're too developed softness or whatever. Just fantastic stuff. He wants
gonna,
to giraffe fight them.
He
wants to go after Jamal Murray and Jokic with his giraffe neck.
They're gonna beat like OKC in the first round in like five games, and Mike Malone's gonna be like, no one believes in us, and here we are as the one seed, beating the eight, beating the Thunder team that we weren't sure was gonna be serious at all.
The Thunder are legit.
They will be. They're a good defensive team. They're a good defense. Like, that's a good team. Jalen Williams, the wing one. The wing Jalen Williams is really good.
He's
that guy's awesome.
A yeah. stud.
He would have been their best rookie regardless this year. All right, let's take a quick break, fellas. After the break, we discuss some true March Madness. More after this. And we're back. Take three. Scoot over to third. We all know Victor Wembanyama is the grand prize for the first pick in the draft. The NBA app yesterday, or on Tuesday, I should say, was just showing his practices. Just showing practices at this point. That's how nuts we are for Wembanyama. Few teams have tanked their balls off this season in hopes of landing the French big man, and all this time we've just assumed Scoot Henderson is the easy pick slash consolation prize for the team that ends up with the second pick. Scoot has proven himself so much as an individual prospect that the G League is shutting him down for the final five games of the season because he's shown enough and the Ignite team is out of the playoff picture. So no sense in making sure the number two pick gets hurt, right? Well, not so fast, fellas. John Hollinger and Sam Vecenie both wrote about the idea that Brandon Miller, despite some very real off-court controversy this year, is making a push as the second pick in the draft. His position of play, his skill set, his development over the season has league executives buzzing about him as the potential second pick. So, Jay, I will ask you, do you think it's truly possible that Scoot is going to fall to the third pick in the NBA draft?
Yes. Yes, it's absolutely possible. And it's not really because of anything he's done wrong. Like, he had a productive season in the G League. It's just, as people look at the best players in the league, the guys who carry teams, non-shooting point guards just aren't really those guys right now. And I think Scoot Henderson is going to be probably amazing. If he ever gets a jumper, he's going to be absolute hell because he is an absurd athlete. He knows how to play the game, all of that. He's a great, great prospect. But you look at Brandon Miller and it's like, that's the guy everyone wants. That's the type of player everyone wants who can shoot threes and be 6'9 or 6'10 or whatever he is and guard everybody and just has the total all around game. There's obviously the off the court stuff, which seems weird to just not really.
I mean, to be fair, he's not been charged with anything. Like I guess it's just done. I don't really know if it's going to resurface. I don't know.
I guess, and I'm sure NBA teams probably look at it like that, as sick as that is. But I think it's definitely possible that Brandon Miller, the way he's played and doing it for, I think it's the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Like,
yeah,
he's played well enough to make that a real conversation.
Marcus, I will add this. There was a report from Draft Express that Brandon Miller will go third in the draft to the San Antonio Spurs, to which Jordan Crawford, aka Sizzle, tweeted out, "Spurs asked me in my meeting with them what if we pick you and you go back to Detroit and you get shot? LOL, Spurs ain't picking him." I love Jordan Crawford more than anybody. Yeah.
He's a great Twitter follower.
Oh my God,
he's nobody
fantastic.
Really follows him.
It's like him and Vernon Maxwell are just two gems on Twitter.
One guy is what, 6'8"?
He's sick to his stomach on Twitter Cam Thomas fell out of the rotation.
Brandon Miller is like somewhere in the 6'8 to 6'10 range, probably by the time he's
and Scoot's done what, 6'1, 6'2?
Scoot's like a solid 6'3, I think, and he's built like a man. He's built
like
he's
6'4, 6'5.
I think he's 6'3. Yeah, but he's built like a bodybuilder.
6'2, I lied. I lied straight to your faces. He looks tall as hell.
Nah, yeah, he's built. They can't resist 6'8, 6'2. They can't resist. That's how GMs work. You know what's gonna happen? Brandon Miller's gonna go to combine, and it's gonna be like 6'8 and a quarter with no shoes. And then he's gonna have like a 40-inch vertical. They're gonna go crazy.
Oh,
and
then they're gonna love it, man.
they're gonna draft number two, right? And like, let's not act like any such off the court issue will actually be a deterrent. Nah, buddy. They don't care. It might even make them buy more. It might buy more on that because, you know, he's got a little desperation to him. Like,
couple of wings back in, when was this, 2017? Couple of wings who went before a 6'2 guard. Jonathan Isaac, Luke Kennard, Malik Monk went before 6'2 guard Donovan Mitchell.
And that's what's going to happen. Scoot's going to measure at like a legit 6'2 with like a 6'2 wingspan. And they're going to be like, I don't know.
But then don't forget, there's going to be a point in his third year where they're like, wow, Scoot's 6'5 now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I could totally see it. Totally see it. And then he's got the exposure of the NCAA tournament, right? He has a great tournament.
Couple of wings that went before another smaller guard, not quite 6'2, but a smaller guard who was slight of build. Mario Hezonja, Stanley Johnson, Justice Winslow all went before Devin Booker.
I
need to read a couple of Jordan Crawford tweets before.
We got time.
Jordan Crawford. I crawled so all the Boston guards could run after me. #Hashtag ask Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Jay.
Yes. You have to ask Brad this.
Is this Jay Craw 55?
Yeah, Jay Craw 55.
I'm African American in Asia, speaking Russian to a Ruski, and she digging me. Ha 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 ha. Give me Naz Reid over Buddy in Denver. Like, he's just versatile on Twitter.
Wow,
he does it all.
I mean, Naz Reid's got a bag.
He called Jokic Buddy in Denver. Buddy in Denver. I'm all about it. Jordan Crawford.
I love the idea that he was watching DeAndre Jordan minutes as a backup big man. It was like, nah, get Naz Reid in there.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Jordan Crawford is the one of the greatest Twitter followers you can get right now.
Coming up after the break, maybe more Jordan Crawford tweets, but definitely some Defensive Player of the Year discourse right here on Point of Contention.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Take four. Let's get defensive. The DPOY award. Difficult to gauge for a lot of reasons. Defensive metrics suck and are pointless. Most people don't even know how to use defensive rating as a statistic. We're not always aware of schemes and strategies players are asked to deploy. And so Josh Robbins talked to David Aldridge and James Edwards III about this year's DPOY race for The Athletic. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the front runner on most sportsbooks for DPOY. He surged after a Reddit post claimed he had fake home stats. And everyone then watched it was like, wow, this guy's really good. This guy's really, really good. Brook Lopez, Giannis, Bam Adebayo have received a ton of attention for the award. So, Jay, let me ask you, how do you determine Defensive Player of the Year, and who would you vote for?
Defensive Player of the Year is, it's a tough one now, because I do believe there is a huge difference between the type of defense that can win you games night after night in the regular season and the type of defense that is most valuable once you get to the playoffs.
Draymond Green.
Rudy Gobert was very deserving of his Defensive Player of the Years, but everyone knew while he was that he was going to get exposed and his flaws were going to matter in the playoffs. So if I did have a vote, and I don't, I'm not important enough.
I do.
I would go.
Actually, I don't know if I still have a vote. I had one last year.
With the most impactful, versatile defender who can impact a game in every way. And for a long time, that was Draymond to me. But now, I think it's probably Bam. Jaren Jackson is amazing. Jaren Jackson blocks so many shots. But he fouls so often that it takes him off the court. It impacts his team. And I just think Bam does a lot of what Jackson does, but also just doesn't have that.
Marcus, what about you? How do you determine Defensive Player of the Year, and who would you vote for?
Yeah, I like the dudes who can do more. I like the idea, and you know, this is clearly because I've watched like Draymond Green dominate for years. Like, it's just so difficult to game plan against a guy like that who could end up on your point guard or on your center. I like Bam for those reasons. I actually think Jaren Jackson is the best defender, but he's so unreliable in terms of staying on the court. Like, getting him to play 30 minutes is a task. Yeah. And that's just not okay. Like, it just really isn't. We were talking to DeMichael Cole, Hoops Adjacent. He was talking about when he plays over 30 minutes, they're incredible. When he plays 20 or 29, his numbers drop off dramatically. And he just can't stay on the court. So to me, like, he's one of those guys who you switch him onto a point guard on a perimeter, he's fine. He protects the rim. He's a good help side defender. He just fouls too much, right? So in that vein, I think he opens the door for Bam, right? Like, but to me, like, skill wise and impact on the game, like, he's the best defender right now. Like, he can do the most things on defense. He just can't stay on the court.
Keep his hands to himself.
Yeah. Like, it is like, I get it in a sense, like, you're all over the place, you're active, you're gonna foul, but my goodness, dude! He's always in foul trouble. It's so frustrating.
He has some of the worst fouls too. Like, he just loses his brain.
That's the thing. He'll brilliant play after brilliant play, and then does like then a dumb rookie level foul. I'm like, what happened? What happened?
And it's too bad that like we're talking about this instead of the absurd chase down blocks and like the amount of ground he can cover, and all that. But it's like, The foul stuff matters.
Like, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, his ability to block a shot as it's coming out of someone's hand, that timing, like, you don't really see that a lot. Like, that's pretty special defensive instincts and ability and understanding and IQ. Like, and he's been doing that since college. Of like, he blocks a lot of shots as they're coming off the hand, not just like, oh, he went and got it in the air.
Yeah, he's had a crazy defensive year. Brook Lopez's case to me is very strong, too.
Brook's been incredible.
Especially at what he does, right? Like, he is the best at manning the middle in a way, like, you feel that.
He's who Rudy Gobert used to be.
Absolutely, you know?
But he's also more than that. Like, he's gotten so much better at moving his feet, and he's not, like, a total liability against a stretch five. Like, Brook, his career has been so insane. Like he started his career as like this low post center who couldn't defend anyone.
Couldn't shoot. Yeah.
And now he's one of the best defenders in the league who just shoots three balls all day.
He's a three and D player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Classic 3-and-D center.
And all he will also giraffe fight the shit out of you.
All right, take five. D'Lo staying? D'Angelo Russell having a renaissance with the Lakers, and it's leading to a lot of mutual interest. According to a report this week, Russell wants his free agency this summer to result in sticking around with the Lakers on a long-term deal. However, I also heard some rumors and some whispers that cap flexibility of the Lakers will target Kyrie Irving in his free agency this summer. Marcus, if you're the Lakers, would you rather have Kyrie or D'Lo next to LeBron and AD in the future?
Man, that is such a tough call.
You look so dejected to even consider what you have to answer here. Is it a tough call because the options are so good or because they're so volatile?
Yeah, they're so volatile, right? Like part of me says, hey, man, go with the cheaper guy who'll be around. Mm-hmm. Who's probably more reliable to play games.
Which one is
D'Lo.
That?
D'Lo.
Oh.
D'Lo okay. Barely wins that part, right? Or do you just go with the best player who might miss 50 games? Like, I feel like neither is the answer. Like,
go get Draymond. Go convince Draymond that his time's right? done with the Warriors.
Hey, Draymond, come run point for us, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't.
This.
Wow, what a choice, Jay. What a choice.
It's funny because when I looked at Google document where we have the topics, I first thought to myself, this is just a wild topic. Like, this is a crazy, crazy topic. And then I thought to myself, but really, this is like what the Lakers will have to decide.
They've got like 3 months from now, they got to figure this out, right?
This is actually where the Lakers are. They
I think we're going to find out truly how LeBron still has.
The choice is the crazy part, though. Like, they don't know the answer right now.
No, they do not.
The choice is absolutely Kyrie, if you can get him. It's absolutely, he's so much better. That's true.
When has that ever gone wrong?
And they, I know they've played well lately. I know they've beaten some teams. I know LeBron's tweeting that he loves his team. Yeah. They are not a championship team, They need more talent. He's no Jordan Crawford on Twitter, but
no, he's not.
When you really think about it, like D'Angelo Russell or Kyrie, that's going to be what they decide this summer.
Great Jordan Crawford tweet. Played my first CBA game today. Woke up and played "The Storm Is Over" by R. Kelly. It's about to get ugly for a defender.
Oh no. Oh no. Sizzle, don't do that.
Hey, I'm just saying, all right, D'Lo and Jordan Crawford as his backup or Kyrie. Now, that's a...
Give me Jordan Crawford as a starter over both those dudes. You kidding me? Years ago...
He watched so LeBron could run.
Years ago, I went to New Orleans for like a week. It was right after they had traded for DeMarcus Cousins, right? And I went there for a week because I'm like, all right, I'll do some stories on this. And maybe this says more about me as a journalist, but the best shit I got was from Jordan Crawford the whole time. Like, just talking to Jordan Crawford every day. Like, it was the best shit I got. And I didn't even care about DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis after that.
That doesn't matter. This is the best Jordan Crawford tweet. He quote tweeted an incredible move by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
With the line, he played like Marshawn Brooks with a little Jordan Crawford. The kid got endless game.
Yeah, that is. That is my Venn diagram right there. Marshawn Brooks with a little Jordan Crawford. That's a Hall of Famer.
Jordan Crawford needs a podcast. He's got good takes.
Or like a Truman Show situation.
He once won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week in Boston.
That. Yeah.
And it was asked him
early December, I believe.
I asked him what went into like playing the best basketball of his life. And he was like, I've always played like this. Like, he was offended that I thought it was the best basketball of his life when he won Eastern Conference Player
as
of the Week.
He should be. That man dunked on LeBron. Remember when he dunked on LeBron and they confiscated the video? What a wild time that was.
That's a wild time
in internet history where that would even be a thing. That.
I know, right? Is it wilder than Honey Nut Cheerios?
That's a great question that we'll maybe answer next week on Point of Contention. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Listening, make sure to subscribe to The Bounce. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and of course The Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Mike Smeltz, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.